Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Take some phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686. Open phones. And hello, Temple City. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, I heard you talking about the game the other night, man. Laker game.
Right. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, I was just looking at Channel 4, and they had Fred Rogan on there, man, doing a sports. And this dude looked like he was going to start crying or something. Like, he's such the, you know, he's saying it's the bitchiest thing he ever seen or whatever. I mean, I think you have a responsibility to tell people, you know.
Well, I take it down a Laker fan. Is that it?
Well, I'm not the biggest Laker fan. No, I'm not. I mean, for a variety of reasons. I'm a.
Well, were you a Blazer fan?
I come from L.A., but I don't always, you know, root for no L.A. team, okay? And
okay, I can understand that. So what exactly is the point of your conversation here with me, sir? I mean, the game was a good game.
It was a good game, man. But, I mean, I just was watching Fred Rogan on Channel 4, and he looked like he was going to have an orgasm or something. He's going, it was a great game, and you should have seen it. You know what I'm saying? The fact of the matter is, man, you have a responsibility to the listeners of the radio broadcast to say to them what's going down. And what went down yesterday at the Staples Center, man, was a Portland Trail Blazer collapse. That's not no Laker win. That's a Portland Trail Blazer collapse. They could have had that game sewed up, man, had they not had no collapse.
Well, you know what? As the saying goes, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle, okay?
Well, I'm talking about something in the realm of possibility, man, not becoming a bicycle, because that's not going to happen, okay? The Portland Trailblazers beating the L.A. Lakers, that's going to happen if the Blazers had not gone cold. But the thing that bothers me is you, Fred Rogan, all these dudes come on TV and radio and start talking like, oh, man, did you see it? It was so great. It was not great, man.
Well, okay, it was not the greatest quarter of basketball. Just like Friday night, my wife kept telling me that was a great game. It wasn't a great game Friday night. Lakers looked like crap. And even if they won the game, it wouldn't have been a great game. This game yesterday was a pretty good game, you got to admit, because
how do you figure it's a great game, man, when you see a team choke it up? When you see the Blazers just suck Chota, how do you figure that's great?
If you're a Laker fan and you're watching them come back from 16 down, you're saying it's great.
Okay, you think Fred Rogan ought to be on TV having an orgasm, like crying and
was Rogan crying?
Yeah, I swear to God, man, he was on just now. And he was going, he was bawling.
Bull crap.
I swear to God, man, I seen him.
Check that out, will you, Mike? He says that Fred Rogan was on Channel 4 right now crying. What was he crying about?
He was crying because it was the greatest quarter of basketball he ever saw. And it was just, you know, it was so unbelievable. I'll tell you right now, man, they got out of that game with their rear ends intact. And if they play anywhere near as bad as they done against the Trailblazers, the Pacers are there, man. I just don't think it's right that Fred Rogan is sitting there almost ejaculating all over that hot news anchor they got in the...
Okay, man. Thank you very much for your phone call. He says Fred Rogan was having an orgasm just a few minutes ago on the news talking about the Lakers winning. Well, I watched the game. It was pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't... 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Chatsworth on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil, great show as always, and I want to give props to the Lakers on they win, and I predict it'll be the Lakers in three against the Indiana team.
Okay. okay. Jesus. It's going to be the Lakers in three against Indiana. You mark my words, man. You mark my words, the Lakers in three over Indiana. Well, you know, when I was watching the game the other night, and I'm listening. By the way, Bob Costas, If he would just do the play-by-play, he would be outstanding. But when he's trying to do the one-upsmanship on Bill Walton, when he's trying to have the funny line, you know what, Costas? You're not funny. You are not funny. Do you understand me, finally? Do the play-by-play. Try to be Vin Scully, which is the guy you've been trying to be your whole career. Make your observations and comments about the game. That would be a marvelous thing. But when you're trying to do the one-upsmanship, Walton had some great things to say at the beginning of the game about Shaquille O'Neal and what happened to him in Game 6 on Friday night and what he needed to do in the game on Sunday. He had very, very accurate and very, very precise comments. They were forceful. They're dead on. And he made the comments. And here comes Costas trying to top him with, hey, Bill Walton, man, trying to, listen to me. You know, just shut up, man, and let Walton say what he's going to say. Let the other dude say what he's going to say. What's the guy, Steve Jones? And then call a game. But Costas, down through the years, has been wrongly identified as a wit. He's not. Bob Costas is a great play-by-play guy. He's a good journalist, he's a good interviewer, and he's competent in all those areas. One of the greatest that I've ever heard? No, not even close. He's not one of the greatest I've ever heard. I hear him doing what a lot of guys do. He's trying to be Vin Scully. Is he one of the best broadcast journalists that I've ever heard? I can think of some guys that are better, but funny he ain't. And maybe somebody told him, hey, Bob, here's how you're going to really put it over the top, man. You got that wit. When you and Tony Kubek were doing Major League Baseball, wow. Well, Bob, that ain't going to happen either, brother. Just do the game. Do whatever it is. You know, he had that later show. That was not a bad show. And remember when he was doing that Costas Coast to Coast, that radio show? That was really good. He had some interviews. You know, it was a nice thing. But this dude, man, won't let it alone. And when these guys are talking, they're doing the broadcast, and Walton makes a point, and then Costas feels he has to top. I know what it was when he was talking with Doug Collins, and when Collins was doing the games with him, because he's been working with all of those guys. And Collins made a really good point, and Costas has to come back to top it. And Collins comes back to reestablish the point that he made that was really good. And Costas won't let it go. He's got to keep topping that. Meanwhile, the ball game's going on, man. I ain't heard you say one word about that. Just shut up, man. In the words of Dave, shut up, bitch. Collins said something really good. I forget what it was, but it was along the lines of, he can't do that, you know, you can't shoot from the perimeter, he's got to kick the ball out. Well, I disagree, I think he has to do it. Right, Bob, fine, but I used to coach in the NBA, and he's got to kick the ball out. Don't keep putting the ball in there to Shaq, he's got to kick it out. Well, I think that, oh, man. Now, I guess he's the fair-haired boy over there at NBC, you know, and for years he was the guy that they were grooming him for all kinds of jobs, man. I thought for a minute they were going to elect that guy Pope. I thought for sure they'd give him the Today Show, they'd give him the Tonight Show, the Tomorrow. Maybe they were going to give him, I bet you they were going to kick out, what's his name, man? They'd throw Leno out of there and stick Costas in. That's how much they thought of that guy. But fine and dandy, they didn't. They kept him there in the sports department, which is really where he belongs. And now this cat is doing play-by-play. He's doing some of the studio shows. My understanding is all he cares about is baseball. That's his first love, baseball. He loves the grand old game. All I ever read about Costas is he'd love to do baseball, but yeah, he'll do football and he'll do basketball. He'll do whatever it is they want him to do, you know. And much to my regret, I wish they'd just stick him on baseball, leave him there, because guess what? I don't watch no baseball. But then the NBC, the NBA on NBC, man, here come Bob Costas. And he's good, man. Don't you think he's a competent play-by-play guy? Unlike Brent Musburger, who thought he was doing a radio cast every time he did play-by-play for CBS on TV, I thought I was listening to the radio broadcast. This guy, I'm watching it on television, and he's telling me every single solitary nose hair that Bernie Kosar's got, whoever the hell's out there. He's talking about the guy is dropping back to pass the ball, and the other guy's going, I can see it, Brent. What do you mean the best thing that came from the ABA was Bob Costas? Are you telling me he worked in the ABA? Doing what? He's the best thing that came out of the ABA? Seems to me there's a guy named Dr. J that came out of the ABA. Talk about the best thing that ever came out of the ABA. His name's Julius Irving. It ain't Bob Irving. The best announcer out of the ABA? Perhaps. But he did basketball, and he did some football, and he was in studio doing football. And all I ever heard every time they interviewed him was, he loves baseball. Please just let me do baseball. Baseball is where it's at for me, because I'm just a pastoral kind of a guy, man. I just got that straw in my mouth, and I got some Awada chewing gum, and I'm scratching my ass, and I just come from the country, baby. I'm all baseball. And this cat wanted to do baseball. Well, they won't put him on baseball. You want to know why? Because he ain't too hot on that either. And then, of course, when him and Kubek would get together, remember Tony Kubek, that piece of work? That guy was doing, well, of course you don't. You're under the age of 600. Tony Kubek was doing the commentary on Major League Baseball. They teamed him up with Bob Costas for a while. Oh, God. So anyway, that's all fine and dandy, but then he's doing the basketball, man, and it's like Joke Central, okay? Just shut up. Now we're going to hear this for another, what do you figure? But what did the kid just say? Three games. Lakers, three and out against Indiana. We got Bob Costas. More of him. Okay, Phil Henry here at 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. And I simply said what I said about the Lakers, you know, Phil Jackson's mercenary hiring, because I had been, you know, a longtime Laker fan with a sort of a sense of tradition that somehow it seemed like it got warped or misplaced or somehow whacked out of joint when they hired Jackson. You know, in other words, let's go out and hire this guy. He's got six rings, and he'll put us back on the winning track. Maybe he did. But I'll tell you this. If those guys had lost that game yesterday, you would have been hearing about that guy getting sent down the road today. You would have been hearing about firing Phil Jackson today. Just think about that. These geniuses and brain surgeons, these cats that think they know all so much about sports, they'd be calling for that guy's ouster today, and it had nothing. The Lakers winning that game had nothing to do with the Lakers. The Lakers winning that game yesterday had absolutely nothing to do with them. Today, Phil Jackson's a great coach. Even though that game was won yesterday through no effort on the Lakers' part, it was won because all of a sudden, Rasheed Wallace, who'd been hot through most of the series, went cold. All of a sudden, these guys, you know, Brian Shaw is hitting a three-pointer. And Robert Horry, really inconsistent shooting. And Glenn Rice, of course, did he make any scoring baskets yesterday? I don't think so. He did? Well, that's a shock. But that's why the guy today is a world beater, because the Lakers got, you know, they got fortunate. The Portland Trailblazers couldn't keep it going through seven games. Hey, it was enough to ask these guys to come back from 3-1 down. There's no way. I mean, most teams are not going to do that. They almost did it. And in the process, you know, it would have been only the seventh team in the history of the NBA to come from three games, 3-1 down in the series and win it in any series, conference final or NBA final. So those guys were, you know, they had a mountain to climb and weren't able to do it. But today, of course, it's the greatest comeback in the history of the NBA. And, man, what a fourth quarter that was, huh? And they really did. You know, I don't know why. And I'm a Laker fan. I'm telling you right now, I had season tickets back in the 80s. I remember Showtime. I was there. And I wasn't all that excited about what I saw those guys do in the fourth quarter. I felt bad for Portland. I did. And they had Shaquille O'Neal, that guy, he didn't know whether to flip or fall on it, man. He didn't know what to do. How many points did he have? He didn't break 20 yesterday, I know that. And they were leaning on him, and they were just generally, they found a way to neutralize him. Couldn't get anything done. They had, like, if it wasn't Brian Grant banging on him, then they had that big Ape Sabonis hanging all over him. They had three or four guys on him at any one time, right? And did he think to kick the ball out so somebody maybe shoot it from the outside? No. As soon as they'd feed that ball into Shaquille O'Neal, he feels like he's got to be the world beater and take it to the hoop no matter what. He's got to take it through 16 guys. And, you know, the whole idea of sending it into him when they all collapse on him so he can kick it out to some guy that isn't guarded. He didn't think to do that. And Jackson, of course, let's not make any adjustments. You know what? They're going to beat Indiana, and for one reason, they ain't got nobody to guard Shaquille O'Neal. Rick Smits isn't going to do it. Although, I don't know. I bet you Smits will eat his Wheaties, you know, and come to play. Oh, he'll get his ass kicked, but... Anyway, yeah, they'll beat the Indiana Pacers, but man, are they lucky to be there. God, are they lucky to be in the finals. And my wife being the Portland fan, of course, I got to take her about 6 weeks worth of dinner now, take her out to dinner to make the whole thing up to her. And the fact that we were screaming and yelling and trashing and throwing things didn't help the house yesterday. It was a nutcase, just a whole nut house. And then we went out to this thing on Saturday night called Late Night Catechism. I got to sit there and be reminded of being Catholic. It was pretty funny, though. You got to go see this thing. It's at the Coronet Theater out in was it West Hollywood, I think? And it's really funny. This is a nun stands up there and basically tells you how it is. I hadn't seen that since seventh grade. That's why, you know, like I had to go back. Like I had to go back. I had to go revisit that. Very funny, though. She was terrific. So it was a very religious weekend. Man, and all that sushi we had last night, and the, you know, something's got to be done. That raw fish, I don't know how it happened, but I got to like this crap, and, you know, it shouldn't be. I don't, see, there's only two things I really like. It's like spicy tuna, and it's something else. I don't know what it is. It's like an albacore, and I go and I eat this stuff weekly. Every week we're out there, and we're eating this sushi, raw fish, and now... She's into this whole thing of getting her own bottle of sake. What is that? Where you have your own box of sake sitting up there. And you got a nickname written on it. Like Mambo Number 5. Look, go get the Mambo Number 5 box. And so she's into that. And then the other thing that was kind of interesting. I have this little boat that I keep down on the lake. And since we moved away from there, I have nowhere to keep it. So the guy calls me and says, well, what are you going to do with your boat? I said, well, I don't know. Can you move it? We're moving it around, man, but I'm going to have to. I don't know. I said, take it out in the middle of the lake and sink it then. There's no place to put it, okay? I said, well, you moved away, man. Well, can't you, like, I'll pay somebody or something. There's nowhere. Look, I got the thing insured. Sink it. It's made out of plastic. It won't sink. Take it out there to the deep end and sink the thing. God. And then oh yeah, one more thing. I had a sprinkler stay on for 12 hours. You know what it's like? Let all the air out of the boat. That's what I told him. Let the air out of it. Hey, I got home the other night and my sprinkler had been on for 12 hours. It's pouring down the street. My neighbor's like, what's the story here, Phil? You know? Those are cactus. They don't have to be watered. I said, I have no idea. I can't turn it off. And I finally had to shut the water off to the house or some crap. You know, I'm digging around in the dirt at midnight. It was really eventful. Turning off big valves, you know, looking at big meters. And I feel like I'm on a submarine or something. Dive, dive, swinging these huge valves. And finally the water shuts off and the whole thing's going to pay TV. Man, it looks bad. That yard looks like crap. I'm getting rid of that grass, honey. I am not growing grass. This is a desert we live in. That green grass, you know how much water that stuff takes? I'm digging it up and I'm sticking in that some of those bushes, you know, those freeway bushes. They can last through anything. They're fantastic. I'm going to put in colored rocks. I'm putting in painted rocks, ice plant and painted rocks. And you're going to ice plant would look beautiful. Because that's all we're living in is a desert out here. And that grass, you got to send 58 billion gallons of water to keep it green for 2 days. And if you don't, then it's going to turn brown. I'm tearing it up. Colored rocks, ice plant, and plastic flamingos. It's the Phil Henry Show. Every show, 1-800-449-8686. So the other thing you can do is AstroTurf your front lawn and make your front lawn AstroTurf, which I am not going to do because I have some, you know, I've got some sanity. I've got some taste. I've got something left. I don't know whether it's sanity, taste. There's something left inside of me that says don't do it, Phil. There's some voice that says, don't do it, Phil. Don't AstroTurf your front yard. Now, I've seen it done. Many of us have. I've seen those AstroTurf strips. And there's Mike telling me, yeah, AstroTurf sucks, although my grandfather has it on his front porch. But that's okay. He's got a regular front lawn. What do you mean he has it on his front porch? I guess that old folks don't want to slip and fall on their rear ends and breaks. Seriously, a lot of times you'll see strips of things. You go in, speaking of grandmothers and grandfathers and visiting them and the like, you go into folks' houses who perhaps are up in years, they're seniors, and they've had problems slipping and breaking a bone here or there, so they've got strips of weird things, you know, like in their bathtub. They'll have AstroTurf in the bathtub. They'll have hand railings where maybe you wouldn't ordinarily see a hand railing. And then there's the spray-on grass, like spray-on hair, which they use for the golf tournaments where you spray it green. You can actually do that. You can spray the dirt green, and they do that for golf tournaments. I've often wondered why or how or who or what does that beautiful green look on the grass there for golf tournaments. Well, guess what, Henry? That ain't grass. They're spraying it green. First time I ever walked into a baseball stadium, Dodger Stadium. First time I walked in, I was a kid. Look at how beautiful and green that grass. I remember thinking, that's the greenest grass, because I was doing lawn work at the time, right? I was 11, 10 years old, and already I was mowing lawns. And they were making me responsible for their, you know, I had to, like, pull weeds. So at the age of 10, I already had this, angst about gardening. I had this worry about how can I make the grass green? I would worry about, you know, how do you make a lawn look good? And I walked into Dodger Stadium, and look at this. These guys, they know how to do it here. Me, I can't make that lawn green, because we had a crap can looking lawn. My dad would make me mow it and weed it and somehow look good. And it was full of crabgrass, right? And I'm worried about this stuff. I'm 10. What adult put that on me? What adult would put that on a kid? I had this on my head. Oh, I got to make the grass green. I somehow have to make this lawn beautiful. I don't know what to do. A mother's work is never done. I walk into Dodger Stadium, there it is green. Little did I know those guys were spraying it green. Somebody would have laid that on me. Jeez, I hated it, man. I hated it. That's what I did. That's how I made a lot of money. You know, when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, I was mowing lawns, doing crap like that. And to this day, I can't stand doing that kind of work. And I didn't have no power mower either. My old man had a push mower, and that was it. You know what, pal? Go out, push the lawn mower, you know, and the grass catcher on the back. And it was uphill, and it was just, there was nothing about it that was fun at all. And, of course, I'd let it go for about 16 weeks, so I was mowing a wheat field. And then you'd have to hand trim. No weed whacker, no weed eater, no nothing. You got the guys nowadays, man, they're diving for a ball out there and they're coming up with a face full of green. A green face. Guy comes up, he slid right across the paint. Slid right into that painted dirt over there, Ed. Hey, I got a great idea for the NFL when you're playing baseball or when you're playing, what do they play in the NFL? I think you guys call that football, and you get down there in the dirt end of the infield. You know, early in the season when there's still baseball, so the NFL teams are still playing on the dirt of the baseball diamond, spray paint it green. That way they won't know. Ah, they're down there in the baseball diamond. And the footing's a little treacherous down there. I could never figure that one out. Build a football stadium and play there. Sod it in something. What a world. They're getting down there into the mud, into the baseball, into the diamond, and you can see the footing's a little treacherous down. Footing, it's dirt. I mean, anyway, so AstroTurf that front lawn is another idea. And you've seen it, haven't you? You've seen that AstroTurf out there, and it's just gorgeous. You put a carpeting in there. Now I got Taylor telling me that his girlfriend wants the AstroTurf her apartment. I can use those colored rocks and that AstroTurf. What do you mean she wants the AstroTurf her apartment? Is she goofy? The other thing is, I walked on the Georgia Dome field, which is AstroTurf's. They talk about it being as hard as a cement floor. That isn't the Georgia Dome. They've got some padding underneath it. I think that's what they figured they ought to do, is pad that stuff, because these guys are just laying that AstroTurf out on a cement floor. I learned all kinds of crap about ballparks and stuff. You know the ice that they skate on in the National Hockey League? Did you ever ask yourself, did you ever wonder, maybe you didn't, but I did, how do they keep moving basketball floors on and off of that during the basketball hockey season? The ice, guess how thick it is? It's about maybe 2 inches thick, tops. No. No, maybe like a half an inch thick then. 2 inches is that? No, it's even thinner. It's about a half an inch thick. And that blue line, it's painted underneath it. It is. So they just lay the basketball court down over top of that. And then just lift it off, and it's just a little tiny. All they got to do, basically, is run a hose out there. Seriously, and that's how they get hockey ice. Taylor doesn't believe me. He's shaking his head. He don't believe me. It's true. It's really thin ice. That's what they mean about skating on thin ice. No, it's very thin. And it's, well, whatever. I used to go to hockey games. I used to go see the LA Blades play. That was the last time I ever watched any hockey. Oh, yeah, I went to a Kings game, but my car ran out of gas in Watts, so I didn't really make it to the game. I got the gas, and I turned around and went home. That was so traumatic. My car ran. What do you mean you went to see the Ice Dogs? It's a hell of a way to talk about members of your family that live back east. No, they the Long Beach Ice Dogs? Anyway, they had that real thin ice, and then they paint the lines underneath it, and there you go. But AstroTurf, it's not a bad idea. See, ever since I decided to do all of that work in the backyard, and I've dug up all my sprinklers and all that crap, everything's turning brown now. Now it looks like, you know what? It looks just like the same crappy yard that I had to dig up when I was a kid and mow. I'm getting those same feelings like when I was 10 years old. Oh, how come I can't get the grass green? I'm starting to get bitter all over again. What else, man? Oh, yeah, then they have it'll go great with your double wide. Oh, yeah, you're right. I swear to God, I saw a guy lay that stuff in. He had a cement driveway. Or then, of course, we can do is rip it all out and pour cement. Have you ever seen people, it's all cement? They just rip the whole lawn out and they pour all, nothing but cement. Because in their minds, what are you talking about? I need a lawn. Screw you, man. All I want a place is to park my cars. You don't need a lawn. They don't get it about, like, trees and stuff. So this guy ripped out everything and poured cement and parked whatever cars he had. You know, his brother-in-law's, a couple of trucks. Schaefer saw a house one time. The front yard was all cement with, like, 9 flagpoles and lights to shine all day long with the flagpoles, right? As he raised up the flag of California and the United States flag and, yeah, a POW flag and all that stuff. There was a guy who lived down the street from me. He had a flag about the size of a football field. He waved it day and night. And at night, you have to have the American flag in light. So he'd shine this spotlight, man. I mean, this is something that you could catch Nazi airplanes over England in World War II with this thing. A Kiwanis Club flag. And anyway, this guy would fly this thing day and night. And the spotlight was on. I mean, people couldn't go to sleep. Because it was like shining in their windows, you know. It was like there was a carnival going on 24 hours a day. Finally, they had to get up in arms and try to get this guy to take his flag down. Pretty soon, you know, they voted for me to go down there and burn it. Guy surrounded his house with chain link fencing. That's a good thing. Pour cement, surrounded with chain link fencing, and fly a lot of POW flags. There you go. You aren't going to tell me what to do. This is my property. And get that avocado green carpeting going. Have a Doberman pincher. No garage. A carport. Now you're looking good. Jeez. Make sure the house is that block stuff. Put in a gun tower. Maybe a couple of turrets. A machine gun nest. Now you got the modern American home. Well, that was it. And that was just one house. I moved out of that neighborhood. And you know what? It wasn't in the best name. It was like a really poor part of town. Here's a guy that probably had all kinds of jack that he could build this electrified chain link fence with a machine gun nest and everything. Hey, move to a part of town where they can appreciate that. Move to a neighborhood where they can appreciate that kind of money, not down here. I like these people to move into poor neighborhoods and then get machine gun nests and chain link fencing. You might as well just move out of there. Go someplace else. Why do you got the chain link fence? I don't like the neighborhood. Then get the hell out of here. Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Okay. Phil Henry Show here. PhilHenryShow.com website. Visit it. I think we're still selling the CD. $23.50, $3.50 shipping and handling. $20 goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. We also are thinking of doing some different tie-ins this coming fall with a new CD that we're going to have, The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2000. But we'll let you know how we're going to be working that plan. And if you visit shuckandjive.com, which is Bill Kiesling's unofficial fan page, he's got some links to some other fan pages. They're very interesting. And I think you'll enjoy them. And we apologize for our collective hangovers today, but, you know, what do you want from me? And what are they doing playing that game at 4 o'clock anyway? Put the game on at 12:30 like you usually do. 4 o'clock. Boy, I mean, the hand of the network has never been so evident than the way they time these games. I got a great idea. Let's play the game at 4, 7 Eastern. We'll maximize audience potential. Sure, sure, whatever you say. These guys have all become programming executives. There's nothing wrong with that. I realize that it's essentially going to be a studio game after a while anyway. But whatever happened to the days of yore, listening to the old ball game in the afternoon, the World Series coming on at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday? Yeah, that was kind of bad. I mean, you're right. The point being, Sunday afternoon. Don't have to have that thing on at 4. Put it on at 12:30. Did they play that thing back east? I guess they did. They're going to do any kind of a number on the East Coast with a Laker-Portland game? Any kind of a number at all with a Laker-Portland game in New York, for instance, or even in Chicago. But they wanted to see what they could see, right? They put that thing on at 4, see if anybody's going to take a look at that thing on the East Coast. I mean, the Knicks are out of it. I talked to a friend of mine in New York. They said, I don't care about basketball now. It's over for me. The Knicks are out of it. I love the NBA, but it's on, you know, onto baseball or whatever the hell they're looking at. As far as I'm concerned, stuff really doesn't get interesting until football camp starts in July. And my DirecTV package gets paid for. And all them games. Oh, yeah. And you know what they say? You live in L.A., so you don't care whether you have a football team, so long as you can go to the sports bar and watch all those other teams. Well, okay, I guess I believe you. I always thought it was nice to have a football team here, but they tell me that I'm not supposed to care. They tell me that all I want to do is go to the sports bar and root for the Steelers or whoever. All right, I you know what, man? Just don't pull that satellite dish, whatever you do, all right? Don't stand in front of that satellite dish, kids, or your stepdad's going to have to get a little nasty. All right, I don't want to see you guys. You know what's happening in my house? The kids use their remote, and I use the remote downstairs, and we're screwing with each other's TV sets. So we had to get one of those caps on the remotes. Now nothing changes, so I have to take the cap off. Every time I do and I change the channel, they change it right back again. We're having battling remotes. It's like something out of a Simpsons. And if that happens during football season, somebody's going to die. And I guess it'll have to be me. Okay, by request, mine. This is the Mission Impossible theme. Kids saw the movie. They said it kind of sucked. Taylor saw it. He liked it, right? All right, nobody I know has seen it. No adult I know has seen it yet.
My butt is
just... Do we always gotta cry? Life's just moving really fast. Better stay on top of life, I'll kick you in the ass. Follow me into a solo. Remember that, kid? So what you wanna do? And where you gonna run when you're staring down the cable of a mic pointed at your grill like a gun? Biscuit is rocking the set. It's like Russian roulette when you're placing your bet. So don't be upset when you're broke and you're done. Cause I'ma be the one till I jet. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Now I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately. Now you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately.
the combination for this life and where to keep it. It's kind of sad when you don't know the meaning, but everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason.
I don't even know what I should say, because I'm an idiot, a loser, microphone abuser. I analyze every second I exist, beating up my mind every second with my fists. And everybody wanna run,
wanna run.
Everybody wanna hide from the gun.
From the gun.
You can take a ride through this life if you want, but you can't take the edge off the knife.
No, sir.
And now you want your money back.
Money back.
But you're denied, because your brain's fried from the sack. And there ain't nothing I can do, because life is a lesson. You'll learn it when you're through.
I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately.
I know why you wanna hate me.
I know why you wanna hate me.